few, one of the little peculiarities in life. This is called a wireless microphone. Keep that in mind. Wraps all the way around me, hangs down to my knee, and then comes up to my tie. Okay. Turn to John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, please. Go ahead and pray, and then I'll let you continue turning. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. Thank you that you've revealed yourself to us. We thank you that you're just and you're righteous. Thank you that you loved us, you bought us at a tremendous price. I ask, Father, that you'll be with me now. Help me to speak your truth and to speak it clearly. Help me to speak it in love. Pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 1. Today, the title of my message, or the subject of my message, is Sin in the Life of a Believer. And instantly everybody goes, oh. But I want to tell you that I'm the one who requested Psalm 45 as a song. My heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verse to the King. That's what this is. I haven't studied something in a while that has made my heart sing out to God as much as this. And I've been going over it since approximately last Christmas, over and over again. Because about that time I was really searching, really struggling, and wanting someone to teach me on sin in the life of a believer. What do you do? How do you deal with it? And about that time, because I couldn't find anybody to teach me on it, the Holy Spirit started in and brought me to this passage and said, that's what I'm talking about here. And instantly my heart sung. And going over it again, it's been the same way. Last night, studying for this, was the same way. It's just an amazing, incredible subject. So this isn't, when I talk of sin in the life of a believer, it's something that no one wants to talk about. It's something that everybody seems to avoid because you've got to hold your hand up and say, yeah, I'm guilty to do it. But then, because of that, you're able to go into such blessing that it's just absolutely incredible. Okay, I'm going to start in the text is actually verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. But I'm going to start in 1:1 and read all the way through 2:2 just for the context. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. And this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Quickly, comment. We've heard in this passage the term fellowship several times. And verse 3 says, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship on two levels, among believers and especially with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the central issue when we're talking about sin in the life of a believer. This is all that's at stake, is our fellowship with God. I want to say that clearly out front. You're not going to lose your salvation because of sin. Salvation and sin were totally paid for on the cross of Christ. Story is over. Case closed. what's at stake here is our fellowship with God. Okay? Verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. John is using terms of light and darkness to talk about sin in terms that are understandable. He says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Good translation is, okay, there's no sin at all in God, and to the extent that if you called sin darkness, God would be light itself. Okay? So if anything that's evil or sin is darkness, God is so sinless, He is light itself. He scatters sin. There is no trace of darkness, no trace of sin within Him. Okay? Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have fellowship with Him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. For years, I thought that the contrast between verses 6 and 7 was a contrast between unbelievers and believers. So 6 is talking about unbelievers, and 7, walking the light, with believers. But I don't think that's true. Number 1, John is writing to believers. It's clear throughout the rest of the epistle. Unbelievers wouldn't have a chance to pick this up. And if they did have a chance, why would they read it? It's not addressed to them. It's addressed to believers. Secondly, I'm going to point out a little more clearly as we go on, the context calls for this all to be talking to believers. Verse 6 is talking to believers. And it says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 5 says, God is light. In Him is no darkness. Now, me. I say I have fellowship with God. Don't we all? Do we all at least want to say that? Do I ever catch myself taking a quick walk on the dark side? Do I ever catch myself... This one's not on, is it? Okay. Do I ever catch myself taking a walk in the darkness? This verse says, if I say I have fellowship, or I say I have a close relationship with God, and yet I walk in the darkness, then I'm a liar. It says, I lie, and I'm not practicing truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. First, I'm going to comment on the word fellowship. I think a lot of times, because we take this verse out of context, and verse 7, and we get to fellowship, and it says fellowship with one another, we think it's just talking about us. And we think, interpret it something like, okay, if you walk in the light with Christ, and I walk in the light with Christ, then you and me get to have some pretty cool fellowship. That's not what this verse is talking about. And it's not, because in verse 6, a verse earlier, it says, if we say we have fellowship with Him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Use we and Him, and the fellowship was with us in Christ, clearly. And now we get up here and it says, if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The fellowship at stake here, and what it's talking about when you read this verse, is my fellowship with God. My close relationship with God. Secondly, it would be totally anticlimactic, and it would be terrible to say in verse 6, that if I don't walk in the light, I can't have fellowship with God, but at least if I walk in the light, like Christ in the light, I can have fellowship with you, even though I still can't have fellowship with God. So it's clearly talking about fellowship with God. Okay, go back to verse 6. No, let's not go back to verse 6. In opposition to 6, he says, instead of walking in the darkness, we walk in the light, we're going to have fellowship with Him, and then we're going to be cleansed from all our past sins. Well, great. Let's pack it up and go home. I made it. You're going to get out early. Just like we wanted. Because all it says is, I don't want to walk in the darkness if you don't have fellowship with Him. So if I clean my act up, if I get it all together, and from now on I walk like God in the light, then I'll have fellowship with Him, which is what I want, right? And I'll be cleansed from all my past sins. That's wrong. It's not true. There's two reasons why. Number one, I'm not now, nor will I ever be, cleansed from my sins because I'm decided to make a new start. Making a new break of things, saying, okay, from now on, I'm going to live for God, does not cleanse me of one single past sin. The only basis, I'll say it again, the only basis for any of our forgiveness, any of our justification, any of our salvation, is Christ's finished work on the cross. So it's clearly not saying that. As well, the second reason, this passage makes it clear in the last two verses that we just went over that I clearly don't walk this way. Look in verse 5. It says, in Him there is no darkness at all. Verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. If you're one of those people who marks in your Bible, underline, in Him is no darkness at all, and underline, walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, and then connect them in the margin. So you get the idea that you can't do it. You're not going to walk in the light if God is in the light, because in Him is no darkness at all. And the problem with me is I start thinking back on my sin, and I kind of liked it, and so I take a little jaunt on the dark side again. And if I take that little jaunt on the dark side, I'm not walking in the light if God is in the light. And neither is some trace of darkness. And therefore, there is no fellowship. An example could be someone saying, since I'm a believer, I'm not immoral anymore. But I did, there's still traces of it in my mind, and I still desire it, so I'm willing to watch movies. This classic example. Or in so many things. I don't go all the way anymore into this sin, but I'm willing to tease myself with it. That's not walking in the light, that God Himself is light. And therefore, I'm out of fellowship. I'm missing it. And I'm in a pretty sorry shape. Verse 8 comes in saying the exact same thing. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. John's writing this in here in case you missed it in 5 and 6, what he was leading up to. Just in case you missed it, if you say that you don't have sin in you, you're deceiving yourself. Because you can't walk in the light if He Himself is in the light. And right here, it is a bleak picture. Right here, God is totally light. We're not. I'm not. Because we're not totally like God, I can't have the fellowship with Him that I desire, that I crave, that I want. Now, we come to one of the most incredible passages of Scripture, in all of Scripture. One of my favorite verses and the verses that follow. This is our Christian walk, in its simplest, in its most basic and most blessed form. It's exactly what 1 John 1:9 through 2:2 is talking about. We'll read it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Simply put, all I need to do now is confess my sin, it'll be forgiven, and I'll be cleansed. But remember, first, that we're talking about sin in the life of a believer here on earth. This is one of Adam's race. He inherited from Adam, as a direct descendant, sin. He inherited a sin nature. He inherited a curse. But he's also one of this blessed race for whom Christ died and paid a price. I want to be careful here. This is what I was careful to say earlier, that trying to live right from now on isn't sufficient grounds for my forgiveness. So, me saying some words is not sufficient grounds for my forgiveness. So, even if I come before God and I would confess and I would say, okay, I'm sorry, that's not sufficient grounds for my forgiveness. The only grounds, the only reason, the only because in my forgiveness, I am forgiven because Christ died for me. Okay? Look ahead real quick to chapter 2, verse 2. It says, starting the end of 1, Jesus Christ the righteous, He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this now. I'm going to get to it. But it'll suffice to say that The only thing sufficient to forgive me is Christ on the cross. Propitiation means he satisfied all of God's anger at me. He paid the penalty so that I can be forgiven. And therefore, because the penalty has been paid that I can be forgiven, now all I need to do is confess. Back to verse 9. Because Christ paid the full penalty for sin, all I need to do is confess it. Well, it brings up this red flag in my mind. And the main reason it brought it up was I heard someone on the radio call in and say, wait, 1 John 1:9 says, confess my sin, but Christ paid for my sin. Isn't that a work? Isn't Scripture teaching me here to do something to earn my salvation? Okay? I'm going to say no. Confession is simply a very simple faith in action. It's faith that all the debt has been paid. If I thought there was still a penalty to pay, I wouldn't be willing to admit my guilt of my sin. Unless, of course, I thought I was able to pay the penalty. Within Catholicism, this verse is misused just on its own, and that's exactly the mistake they make. They think, I can pay the penalty. And so they'll come up and they'll say, forgive me, Father, I have sinned. And talking to a human father on earth. And then a penalty is given to them. And it's something attainable. It's something earthly. It may not be pleasant. It may be costly. But it's attainable. It's do this physical act of pain. Do this physical act of discomfort or humiliation. Or maybe it's just pay this price of money. And it may cost a lot, but it's worth it, right? Because this is my eternal salvation at stake here. And I confess my sin, so I'm willing to pay this price. But that's error on one side of the issue. Because just believing is missing the penalty of sin. It's missing how serious sin is. It's thinking that I can pay for it myself. There's an error on the other side, and that is the people who realize the penalty of sin. First, we're going to look at the penalty of sin. Scripture says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. So if I realize that my wages for sin is death, and then it says in John 5:29, Christ is speaking of those who did evil deeds, and it says they're going to be resurrected to a resurrection of judgment. So if the wages on earth of my sin is death, how much more severe the resurrection toward judgment? It's a terrifying thing. I realize I don't want to pay it. I'm not going to confess. Well, that's pretty easy. And right here, verse 10 comes in and closes down that option. If we say we haven't sinned, which is what not confessing is, I didn't do it. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. We make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Because a few verses earlier, he said, yeah, you did sin. And he's saying anybody who would say that God is a liar clearly doesn't know God, has no part of him. So, once again, we lost out. But, on the other side, understanding that my sin is serious, understanding that when I confess, I'm admitting I'm guilty, but understanding that Christ paid the full penalty for my sin, confession becomes the most simple fruit of faith in my life I can imagine. It's simply saying, yeah, I am guilty, but I know Christ paid the whole penalty. And now it's not a work. It's just showing the faith that's already there. So we see that confession of sin is not a work in opposition to faith, but a simple fruit of it. And then, second part of the verse says, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To help you see the beauty of this phrase, I'm going to reread the verse. I'm going to change it to say something it doesn't say and wasn't meant to say. It could say, but it doesn't. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from those sins which we remembered to confess. That's not what it says. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And he cleanses me from all unrighteousness because I'm so spiritually dull that I often don't even realize the majority of my sins. Much less confess it. When we're first saved, we see these big sins in our life. Things like immorality or lying. Things that are just glaringly obvious to me and everyone else. So I get to work working on them. I mature a little bit, and I start to get a little victory over these sins, and the Holy Spirit comes in and starts tapping at my heart and saying, Well, let's go down another level. What about lust? What about coveting? Ooh, those are inside. I didn't even notice those before. So I start working on those. And about the time I think I got those licked, and I think I'm doing pretty good in my Christian walk, the Holy Spirit comes along and taps again and says, what about pride? Ooh, I'm sunk again. So were those sins I didn't notice before not there all along? No, they were. Yet I just was too spiritually dull to notice them. And that's why this verse says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is righteous. And He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all of that unrighteousness. He forgives me even of the stuff I'm too spiritually dull to notice. And He forgives me of the stuff maybe I forgot about. The stuff that I knew I should confess, but not now because I'm too busy feeling miserable about it. So I'm going to go on and I'll confess it next week. And then I forget. And next week comes along and I confess what I remember and I'm forgiven and I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. Okay, let's look back and see exactly where this truth that I call such a glorious truth fits into the context. Verse 5, paraphrase. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, I want fellowship with God. Yet, I know I take walks over in the darkness from time to time. Verse 7, if only I could walk in the light just the same way that God is in the light. Then I could have that fellowship with God and I would be cleansed from all my sins because of the blood and by the blood of Jesus. But, verse 8, I know I do have sin. I don't walk in the light. But verse 9, I only now have to confess my sin because Jesus Christ paid my penalty and I will be forgiven. And, even better, I will be cleansed from all my unrighteousness. And you know where that puts me? This is the thing that when I came across it and it hit me, floored me, broke my heart wide open. You know where that puts me? That puts me right up in verse 7. Because now, if I'm cleansed from every bit of my unrighteousness, there's no darkness in me. And I can walk in the light. As God Himself is in the light, I get that relationship with God. I get fellowship with God. Chapter 2, verse 1, said I was going to talk about sin in the life of a believer. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. Well, how does this truth that we've just gone over help us to not sin? I'm going to explain to you how it works in my life. And since I came across this and saw how it worked in my life, I asked a few other believers. And the few I've talked to agree that this is how it works in their life. Maybe it's a small pool. So maybe it doesn't work in your life that this way, but this is how it works in my life. I want to serve the Lord. There are times I also want my sin. That's all of us, isn't it? It's kind of a battle. It's a battle within me. The temptation seems to nearly always be present. I take just a little jaunt on the dark side, so to speak. But while I'm over there, all of a sudden this guilt comes. And so I really quick hightail it right back over to the light and start walking with God. Well, a little bit later, as I'm walking along in the light, not really yet noticing a lack of fellowship, the dark side, that little jaunt, started, I remember how appealing and how nice that was. So I real quick duck over to the dark side real quick, no one's noticing, and then I come back. And that might happen a few times. But pretty soon, I'm miserable. Because I've got this guilt. Number two, I've got this lack of fellowship with God. And lack of fellowship with God produces a serious side effect in my Christian life called no joy. Because isn't Christianity not a religion? It's a relationship. And what makes us joyful as Christians is my fellowship with God. And that's cut off because I just chose my sin over Him several times. And yeah, it was a slow process. But now I'm walking over here and I'm missing joy. Well, this is where all of a sudden this passage comes in handy and all of a sudden it gets really ugly. Because now, as I'm over here walking along without joy and feeling pretty sorry for myself and having no fellowship with God, I start looking at my sin as a consolation prize. Oh, well, I can't have God, but at least I got this. Oh, I feel better. And I go a little bit longer and it happens again. And it happens again. And this is what a lot of modern writers have called the defeated Christian life. And that's where a lot of believers are living now. And that's the sad thing about it. The sad thing about this whole situation is how long we live there. A week? Maybe it's a day. Maybe it's a week. 2 weeks? I've been there for 2 weeks. Miserable. And my only consolation is the sin I keep on grabbing back at. A month. A year. A couple years. Believers there. And then missing all the joy of their Christian walk. At this point, it's kind of like in the Kathy cartoons, if you watch them. She's going along and she's got her little boyfriend and her boyfriend dumps her. And she feels bad. She goes and eats a bunch of chocolate. And then she feels bad because she gained weight, so she goes and eats a bunch of chocolate. She feels bad because she gained weight and she goes and eats a bunch of chocolate. And that's exactly where we're at. I just keep on grabbing my sin as a consolation prize. Why? Because I want the counterfeit joy. I'm missing joy in my life. I'm missing my relationship with God. And the only thing I can find, the closest thing I remember to a little bit of joy, was that sin. So I grab it again. And yet I know I'm not right with God. And I long to be back. And I can't figure out what is wrong. I can't figure out why I don't have that relationship with God I had before. And then the Spirit drags me across these verses. And I get to verse 6. We say we have fellowship with Him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie in the presence of truth. That's me. Yep. No joy, and I'm pretty miserable, but what am I going to do? I don't know how to get back with God. I'm just out of it. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, oh, to walk in the light, and to have fellowship with Him, and to be cleansed from the sin I'm carrying around. Oh, that would be so wonderful. But I don't. Then I come across verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, dear God. Is it that easy? Is that what I missed for all this time? Well, here it is. Here's everything I did. You already knew about it. Oh, wow. It's a relationship again. I have joy in my Christian walk. And I'm back in the light. Because He cleansed me. Now, was I ever in danger of losing my salvation? No. Was I ever in danger of hell again? No. Christ had paid the full penalty. I was letting there be a break in the relationship. It was all my fault. And all I had to do was say, I blew it. I'm sorry. But You paid for it. Let me back. And He does. And it's that easy. And you're back walking with Him. My little children, I'm writing this to you that you may not sin. Are you struggling with no joy, no fellowship, and seemingly insurmountable sin? Let me give you the same advice that was given to me by someone here in this chapel. Actually, it was given to a group of us young kids. About 4 years ago, if you're walking along and you have no joy in your Christian walk and you don't know why it's not what it's supposed to be, set aside at least an hour. That's the news and the TV show after it, or whatever it is. It's the time you spend each night normally reading your book. This is worth it. Set aside an hour. And set aside the first 30 minutes of that hour. Go get on your own where no one's going to distract you. Get on your knees if you're physically able. Start confessing. And ask the Holy Spirit, show me some sins to confess. I can't remember them all. Guess what? He honors that. I've done it again recently, and all of a sudden, oh man, I forgot all about those. And He says, bring them up, and you confess them, and you're washed. Spend 30 minutes doing that. You probably will make it to 30. I always do. All of a sudden, you're cleansed. And then, once you're cleansed, spend the next 30 minutes you set aside enjoying this new fellowship, enjoying this walk in the light. Pray. Pray like you haven't in a while. Pray as you're walking in the light. Pray fellowshipping. Try singing. Oh, it's wonderful. Just sing out in your heart to God. Sing out and let Him know how much you love Him, how much you appreciate all He's done for you. Quote 1 John 1:9 and 1:7 to yourself a few times. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And just enjoy the relationship. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. Then He gives us another reason. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. As if it wasn't enough before. As if everything He's told us so far wasn't enough. So, oh, wait, there's more. He gives two more reasons, two more points why when you do sin, and you will as believers, He said that clearly, two more things to remember. I'll give them in the backward order they're given here. Number one, He Himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means a sacrifice to God to satisfy His wrath at my sins. Used several times in Scripture. Every time I come across it, I love it more. So, when we sin, we don't, as believers, have the fear of God's anger. This whole passage is about relationships, fellowship. When we sin as believers, our sins only endanger our fellowship. Our sins have already been dealt with in the past. I've already gone over this. We're not in danger of hell or losing our salvation. We only damage the relationship and the fellowship. But when we confess, that's restored. Now something incredible. It says, and if anyone sins, and we will, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The word advocate, paraclete. It's the idea of someone who is a judicial helper, but even more so. It's your legal counsel, and it's someone who's a friend. It's someone close. But the idea here is when we sin, Jesus Christ is our advocate. Or better yet, as I am sinning, Jesus Christ is right there before the Father saying, wait, He's mine. Watch this. He's gonna get it. He confessed. He's back. It's that simple. Not only did He pay for it all, and I only need to confess, as I am sinning, when I'm choosing my darkness over Christ in the light, at that second, He is before the Father saying, wait, He's mine. He's gonna get it. And He's waiting until I confess and I come back. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. The neat thing is, in the life of a believer, is sin is totally dealt with. The believer doesn't live a sinless life. But the believer should, for all reasons, never live a life that is conquered by sin. Never, Paul says, don't let sin reign in your bodies. Because you know what? When you voluntarily, of your own will, choose to walk in the dark side, right then, go ahead and confess it. Right now, because Christ, I remember so many times in my life I feel, oh, I can't confess now, I just did it. Oh, that just, it's like cheapening it. But Christ is already at the Father going, just wait, He's going to confess. I promise, just wait a second. He's mine. I paid for Him. He knows the truth. So right when you sin, confess. And you're back in the light. And there's no reason to go back. And there's no reason to feel miserable. And there's no reason to miss the joy. And sin has no reason to reign in our mortal bodies. Go ahead and pray. And then I'd like to sing 1 John 1:7, if Sean can find it real quickly, if we walk in the light. Father in heaven, I thank you that you have paid such a wonderful price for us. I thank you that you were willing to give up your Son. Thank you that you paid the total price. I ask, Father, that now you'll help us. Will help us not to be conquered by sin any longer. Help us not to let sin reign in our bodies. Help us not to be miserable. Help us not to be alone out of fellowship with you. Help us to do what we know we need to and to get on our knees before you and confess our sin, get it out of the way of our relationship, and enjoy our loving relationship with you.
thank you for all you've done for us. I ask that you'll keep this message on our minds and hearts. And you'll keep us remembering all you've done for us. And remembering we can have fellowship and joy in you. In Christ's name, amen.